Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, you are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day. We've got two great tournaments to look ahead to in South Africa and Mexico. And we'll look back first on the weekend just went when the boys absolutely peppered the flag. There was only one tournament. They put up five selections between them. Three of them made the frame. There was a six-man playoff. It ended up in being floodlit, it went on for so long. And much to the chagrin of both Glenn and Steve, unfortunately, Tyrrell Hatton was the man who emerged victorious. Now, Glenn, last week you put up a real face spitter of a Trixie. You had, let me think, Kitayama, was it? Or did you go with Schwab, Glenn?
No, Kitayama for the Trixie.
Kitayama, yeah. Who was looking really good in the playoff. Jerry Kelly in the US Seniors event, who probably was a shot or two out of the money, wasn't he?
Yeah, I wasn't sure at the end.
I wasn't far off.
Crying into me drinking at that point. Yeah, about two or three shots off the places, yeah.
And a fella called Laporte in the what's it called? The European sort of...
Challenge Tour Grand
Final. Yeah, the Challenge Tour thing. And he won, didn't he? So, Glenn, tell us how close you came and how much you would have won.
Yeah, Kitayama missing that putt, that would have got me a few pennies. The whole thing altogether could have come to 150 Gs, but I say a second round blowout really by Jerry Kelly on what proved to be a fairly easy course. If he shot the score he scored on any of the other 3 days in the second round, he would have won. I know that's an easy thing to say afterwards in hindsight, but he had plenty of birdies in that second round as well, but too many bogeys to go alongside it. So, yeah, blew out the big jackpot, unfortunately.
Unlucky, mate. But you were the toast of Twitter. A lot of people did the tricks and were very, very impressed, mate. And so was I. Steve, yeah. Who was your big groan was Van Rooyen, wasn't it? He got himself in there with that fantastic eagle on 18 to force his way into the playoff. But it wasn't to be, was it?
No, two pulled drives for Van Rooyen. He tugged his drive at the 11th and that was a hole that everyone was eating up, setting up eagle putts, and he made a six on the 11th. That was a real showstopper for him. And then when he got in the playoff, he hit exactly the same shape of drive, tugged it into a bush. So his playoff hopes were blown straight away. So absolute hammer blow. I mean, each way punters who bet into five places didn't even get a full place payout when they had a playoff loser. I mean, you've got four fifths of your stake at the full odds. It's incredible. It shows how tough this game is. But we gave Tyrrell Hatton plenty of positive mentions. I mean, we're talking about biorhythms. He plays well in this time of the year. And he did a little purple patch. So I think both me and Glenn were considering him. But I don't think we missed out on a great price. I mean, 16-1 wasn't a fantastic price about Hatton. He's been having this niggling little wrist injury for quite a while now. So, yeah, I wasn't beating myself up about missing out. We had a good crack at that tournament lots of place money for us.
Our day will come. I tell you, talking about beating yourself up, I mean, Tyrrell Hatton at one point looked like he was completely losing the plot. He was throwing clubs around the place and getting very hot under the collar, but he managed to get it done, Steve.
Yeah. He's a very volatile character, isn't he? I mean, it's just cringeworthy sometimes when, a lot of these players, he's one of the worst. When they miss a putt and they sort of say, how did that happen?
I know, because you didn't...
obvious how it's happened. You didn't put it on the right
line. And then they glare at the caddy. I can't stand that. I tell you what, I know if you win, you get a nice check, so you have to keep your cool. But, I mean, you know, what Bobby Watson used to do to his caddy... Poor sod, he's just standing there going, well, you know, a cup outside or whatever. And then when the golfer actually hits the putt, he blames the caddy. It's pathetic, isn't it?
You have to have a very good temperament to be a caddy, don't you? You have to be like a human punch bag, you know, take all the shots and just remember there's a big, you know, pot of gold waiting at the end of the rainbow, hopefully. I think Hatton's caddy does a great job there to handle that. I wouldn't be. You could pay me all the money in the world, I wouldn't putt with a player like that.
No, quite. Glenn, good result for the bookies, was it, at Tyrrell Hatton?
No, another small loser again this week, Bruce. So we didn't like him at the price, but a few punters did. So we laid a bit of the 16s pre-tournament. So only a very small one again. But, another one punters just edging it this week.
Okay, any eye-catchers, Steve, from last week?
I think we need to give Shubhanka Sharma a mention. He tied for seventh place, shot a pair of 64s. He was seventh in the Italian Open last month as well. So, yeah, I think Sharma's a class act getting back to his best.
The only thing is there, Steve, that final round 64, I mean, it was a pressure-free 64. He wasn't in the cauldron. He wasn't in the heat of battle, was he? He just sort of scampered up there at the last minute, didn't he, with a few birdies late on. I'm not sure that counts as much as for sort of someone who hangs on in there. Do you know what I mean?
This is true, but he's had a few technical problems, Sharma, in recent months, and he seems to be over them now. He's swinging beautifully again. You know, technically, I love Sharma. I think he's still very young, and he's got a big future.
Okay, and Glenn, any eye catchers from you from Turkey last week?
I'm just wondering if Steve can see my sheet. Shubhanka Sharma's the first name on the list again. Guido Migliozzi, again, last round 7-under, but showing a little bit of form after a couple of wins earlier in the season. And I got one for the, hopefully for the lesser events at the start of the new season, a guy called Kaul Samuja, 31-year-old Finnish guy. Three near top 20 finishes his last three outings. Hits the ball a long way, starting to improve with his eye and play. The strength of that event was probably a little bit too good for him. But say some of these lesser events at the start of the season, he might do a Kitayama and pick one or two up.
Kaul Samuja. Okay, chaps, let's look ahead to our first tournament. It's on the European Tour. It's the Nedbank Challenge down at the beautiful Gary Player course. Sun City in South Africa, of course. It's a iconic venue, isn't it? It used to be one of the really exotic places when the European Tour used to go to a far-flung location, but we know it like the back of our hand now. It's a beautiful track. What's the tournament rating this week, Glenn?
A very average six this week for a season-ending event. We're betting a fifth the first six places. 15-2, Louis Oosthuizen. 12-1, Henrik Stenson. 14, Matt Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood. 18, Erik van Rooyen. 20, Robert McIntyre. 22, Alex Noren. 25, Matt Wallis. Rafael Cabrera-Bello. 28, Bernd Wiesberger, Hao Tong Lee and Kurt Kitayama.
Thanks for those prices, Glenn. Don't forget, it's Responsible Gambling Week. Please do only bet with money you can afford to lose. Now, we always ask Steve what sort of player succeeds at this event, and we will do that in a minute. But Glenn, first of all, do you put the emphasis more on power, touch, accuracy? What's the key attribute here?
The big hitters, power is certainly an asset. It's a long course, but the approach play needs to be very good as well. It's about the first two shots, really. You're always going to gain a few shots on the green with good putting, but it gets to get in there. So good ball strikers will excel this week.
Steve, would you concur with that?
Yeah, it's a ball strikers track, long, demanding, very well protected greens. So yeah, punters should be concentrating on classy tee to green operators. I mean, we've got 7,827 yards to cover here. I know the course is at altitude, ball flies a bit further, but this is a long course and it's got four par fives. So yeah, I'm looking at strong ball strikers.
Okay, if we look at the past winners as well, sometimes you look at the past winners and there's 200 to one shot and 150 and another bloke you'd never heard of. But it's only really decent names win this. Well, Westwood won it last year, then you have Brandon Grace, Alex Noren, Mark Leishman and Danny Willett. So decent operators tend to thrive. Steve has put all his eggs in one basket, so we won't look at the person he's all in on this week until we get Glenn. How many have you got here, Glenn?
Well, you can look at Steve because I am exactly the same.
You've only got one as well?
I'm all in on one as well, yeah.
Okay, away you go, Glenn. Who is it?
Do you want to go with Steve? Because it's the same player as Steve.
All right. How do you know?
I've seen it on the site. So.
This is incredible. You're both putting up one tip and it's the same person. Right, Steve, you go first, making the case for this person. And then, Glenn, if there's anything you want to add, away you go. Steve, who is it?
It's Louis Oosthuizen, who is, for me, the most attractive favourite we've had all year. I mean, one firm briefly went up at 12-1, which was just the wrong price. The general 10-1 has been understandably gobbled up too. But yeah, Oosthuizen, for me, deserves to be a really, really short price favourite this week, given how weak this field is. I mean, Glenn's rating of six, I think, is generous. It's difficult to find a quality opposition for Oosthuizen this week. And he is a prolific champion in his homeland. Yeah, we'll come on to these other market principles later, but there's significant chinks in the armour of all of them. As I say, Oosthuizen's record in South Africa is awesome. Five of his last seven European Tour victories have come in South Africa. He always raises his game at home. His last win was a six-shot victory in the South African Open last December. Just prior to that victory, he almost won this event, the Nedbank, for 68 holes of last year's Neddy, as I like to call it. Oosthuizen, he looked like the likely champion, but Lee Westwood was absolutely inspired. He just wouldn't stop making birdies. Oosthuizen made 8 birdies on the Sunday. I mean, Oosthuizen's Sunday performance was fantastic. Usually be enough to clinch it, but Westwood was just in, he just found a gear that he hadn't shown for years. It was another Nedbank near miss for Oosthuizen. His tournament form figures in the Nedbank are 12-4, 14-7, 11-9, 8-3. And crucially, he is a course winner. He won the Dimension Data Pro-Am there in 2007. I think this course suits Oosthuizen perfectly, and his preparation has been absolutely spot on. He finished third last time out in the WGC HSBC Champions. He carded 4 rounds in the 60s. Ideal warm-up. A lot of players playing in Turkey last week. He skipped that one to freshen up for this one. He's desperate to win his first Neddy. And we must mention the first prizes. It's gone up to $2.5 million they've doubled the first prize. So this is a big, juicy carrot. Some of the lesser lights this week could be quivering with excitement about the big paycheck. But Oosthuizen, obviously a multimillionaire, not bothered by it. The rich get richer, and hopefully the poor get richer this week, because I've backed him with all I can muster.
Okay, I think $2.5 million is about 2 million quid on current exchange rates. That's a huge purse, isn't it?
Very much so, John. Yeah.
Right then, Glenn, what have you got to add that Steve didn't cover?
I can't really cover it. I was going to say about his South African form. Obviously, he would have started out in South Africa. He played a lot of events in South Africa, varying degrees of quality. 69 in total, I can tell you. 10 wins, 35 top 10s. But more significantly, since he won the Open in 2010, obviously played a lot of golf in America, he's gone back to his homeland on 17 occasions. 5 wins, 13 top 10s. I've always got him down as being a little bit iffy if he's not particularly in contention and not really like going through with it. But it seems that when he turns up in South Africa, he gives it 100% every single time. And I think that's significant. So it's good course form, good country form. Steve said he's a quality ball striker. We know how good he can be. Won the Open by, was it 7 or 8 shots? As Steve said, 10-1 as he was early in the week, a short price favourite like that we've seen for a while, I think. And I totally concur with what Steve says.
Blimey, excellent stuff. Are you backing him each way, Steve, or all up to win?
A bit of both, yeah. I've had my each way investment and then a bit of extra on the win as well.
Are you slightly concerned with him that there are times where, I don't know, he just seems to kind of drift out of contention a little bit, and that little semi-smile goes on like Ernie always used to, and you kind of think, oh, come on, man, get a grip. Or do you think he's got the cojones to get the job done?
I think he's fiercely patriotic, and I think Glenn makes an important point. When he's in South Africa, he doesn't let his head drop. He's very, very determined. I mean, he was full of beans about South Africa winning the rugby the other day. You know, he gets very excited about South African sport. He's in floods of tears when he won the South African Open. You know, this is a minor event for most players. You know, if Lee Westwood won the South African Open, for example, he wouldn't be shedding tears like that. But Oosthuizen was an emotional wreck. You know, he's desperate to perform well in front of his home fans. So I see a determined 72 hole performance. He's overdue a Nedbank victory. He did so well last year and was just very unlucky to run into an inspired Lee Westwood. There's no chinks in the Oosthuizen armor. That performance in China was a perfect warm-up. He's fresh as a daisy. He hasn't played much, but he's peaked for this. He's just trying to keep the engine ticking over for the President's Cup. Yeah, you can look long and hard, but you won't find any chinks in the Oosthuizen armour, whereas all the players just below him, there are plenty.
Okay, well, we'll go through those other players. First of all, though, if you were having a second selection, who would it be, Glenn Day?
Well, I was actually going to put up that Kaul Samuja, just a big price. As you mentioned, all the winners of this event are all quality players, all at the head of the market, but there are plenty of big price places in there. A lot of the guys win by a streak. So someone who's hitting the ball well, as I stressed earlier on, he could sneak into a place at a very big price. But in the end, I just thought Louis Oosthuizen looked too good, and it's all or nothing.
Okay, and it's only 63 runners, Steve, as well. Who would your other selection be if someone twisted your arm and said put someone else up?
It would be Erik van Ruin if someone twisted my arm, because I only had three players on my shortlist: van Ruin, Oosthuizen, and Fleetwood. Van Ruin, he was 60th on his Nedbank debut last year, but, you know, doubtless full of nerves, big event for him. But he was 9th in his only other appearance at the Gary Player Country Club. He finished 9th in the 2016 Sun City Challenge. So I think Van Ruin's game fits this. I just wasn't sure he could get the job done. This is known as Africa's Major. You know, it's a massive deal for the South Africans. I think, you know, if he was dueling with Oosthuizen on Sunday, I think he'd wilt, whereas the more experienced Oosthuizen would kick on. So, yeah, I'd say Van Ruin and Fleetwood are the only two worth considering, other than Oosthuizen. But it's not worth it. Get all those eggs in one basket.
Blimey. Okay, well, let's spin through the other market leaders, the people who are expected to provide the most opposition to Oosthuizen. So, Steve Fleetwood, you did have a look at him, but decided he didn't quite merit a place on the plan, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Fleetwood's got the tee to green class to handle this course, but been short of sparkle in recent months. He was 20th in the CJ Cup, 22nd in the Zozo, and 53rd in the HSBC. So he's gone a little bit flat. He's only had a week off. Is that enough to revive him? Probably not. But I'd say he's the biggest threat to Oosthuizen.
Glenn, do you like Henrik Stenson's chances?
By his own admission, he's not in the best form he could be. He's got fantastic course form here. He's a winner in the past. But short price favourite for the Houston Open a few starts back. Should definitely have contended there and missed the cut. If it wasn't for that, he may well have made the portfolio. But so if he's saying himself that his game's not quite on, he had to get rid of his old trusty Freewood, didn't he, recently? Replaced with a new one at 12-1. Didn't make it.
Did 14-1 Fitzpatrick float your boat at all, Steve?
No, he's been playing well since the US Open. Yeah, really consistent, regularly contending, but not winning. This track not ideal for him. I think he'll perhaps run into a place, but I can't have him for the win.
Van Rooyen's been really consistent all year, Glenn. Could he figure here?
Yeah, definitely. As Steve pointed out, got close to making it for him. He's just an improving player. It'd be a bit disappointed with his performance in the playoff last week. Might have a small scar left over from that, but very good passer when he gets on the greens. Yeah, you can see him going well again, but just didn't quite make it on the list.
What about my man Bobby? Debutant, Mr. McIntyre. Can he feature here, Steve?
Full of form, isn't he? But still winless and making his debut at the Nedbank. I don't like Nedbank debutants. He's on for Rookie of the Year honours, so he'd be happy with that. But no, not for me.
Okay, and finally, Rafa Cabrero Bello. Glenn, has he got any chance?
I did think he did have that. He's always been Mr. Consistently. He doesn't get over the winning line very often in front, but his game's gone completely off the ball recently, so he's a definite no-no for me this week.
Okay, I'm not taking this in price order. This is an extra one that I just want your advice on, Steve. Lee Westwood, defending champ, good top 10 last week. I mean, he just loves it round here, doesn't he?
Yeah, got a new putting grip, been trying the pencil, and the pencil seems to be working for him, and recruited a decent caddy. He's been using his sort of wife, is he married to her? I'm not sure. Is his girlfriend? His girlfriend's been caddying for him and his son, but he had Sam Walker on the bag last week, who's a tall player, so he's actually getting some decent caddy support now. Yeah, and obviously loves Sun City, but yeah, I think Westwood's done his winning for us. I mean, we've won a fortune off Westwood through the years. We had him last year, didn't we, at 40-1. I don't fancy him this week. I think Oosthuizen's going to pulverise everybody.
What's the pencil grip? Is it where you hold the left hand as if you're kind of trying to drive a post into the ground, and then the right hand grips it between the thumb and the index finger? Is that roughly it?
That's it, yeah. The pencil grip's a little bit tighter than the other one because the claw is a bit sort of flappy, isn't it? The claw comes in. Where's me? Yeah, the claw's like that and the pencil's like that, yeah.
What do you use?
I got a conventional textbook Tiger Woods style grip. Yeah. I don't need to resort to these sort of things. I'm obviously a better putter than your Lee Westwoods.
How do you putt, Glenn?
Poorly.
That's like the old joke, isn't it? My dog's got no nose. How does he smell? Absolutely terrible. It's never actually that funny, that joke. But anyway, on that note, let's move to Mexico.
On the move, follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day. We're going to look ahead now to the US Tour event, which takes place on the beautiful Riviera Maya in Mexico. It is the Maya Coba Classic at El Chameleon Golf Club, Playa del Carmen. And Glenn, what is the tournament rating?
Tournament rating is a 6 this week, Bruce.
Okay, spin through the prices for us.
Certainly, 20-1 the field this week. Jason Day, Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau, and Victor Hovland, all at that price. 22, Billy Horschel. 28, Abraham Anser. 30, Charles Howell. 30, Joachim Niemann and Russell Knox. And 33, Aaron Wise and Emiliano Griot.
Cool, interesting. 20 the field. I bet you're not just putting up one selection each here. Steve, I think you've got 5, haven't you? How many have you got, Glenn?
I have got 4.
4. Okay, Steve, away you go. Who's your main man?
Main man is Abraham Anser, the local hero, Mexico's finest player. He's up to 36th in the world rankings now. When he was a budding young PGA Tour pro, this tournament was probably quite intimidating for him, the extra spotlight, the pressure to perform well for the galleries. But he's achieved enough in the game now to relish this extra attention and support he will get from his compatriots. Last year, we were on him last year. He opened with a 65 to put himself right in the thick of things straight away, but he wasn't ready to kick on. He dropped to 21st place. 12 months on, much more confident. He's since won the Australian Open by a stunning 5-shot margin. He duelled with Patrick Reed down the stretch of the opening FedEx Cup playoff event. And then last time out, he finished 4th in a WGC, the HSBC Champions in China. So Anser is becoming much more comfortable contending for elite events. He's got a President's Cup debut on the horizon. And the Maya Coba Classic is Charles' play for him now. In 2017, he was 9th in this tournament when ranked 287th in the world. So I see him doing plenty of damage now where he's on the fringes of the elite. This course is perfect for Abraham Anser.
Okay, Abraham Anser for Steve. Who's your top dog going to be, Glenn, this week?
I'm not at all confident this week. No, all mine. If I had a stake in playing, it'll be 0.5. So I don't like the front of the market. I'm going to go with Brian Stewart, 36-year-old American.
Funny about that, Steve?
I just love the pronunciation. What? Brian Stewart. I love it.
That was your Stewart's inquiry, was it?
Stewart, yeah. It will be if he wins.
Go on, Glenn. What attracts you to Brian Stewart, who just screams journeyman to me?
That's the remit for a lot of the guys that have won it. Only two players under the age of 30 won at this course. Experience, course managers, you want. 2010, when he gained his card for the first time, and that year his best finish was a tied second in this event. On that occasion, achieved not through it in the fairways, as expected, but through his putting, where he ranked first in putts per green in regulation. Did win it on tour in 2016, the Rain Shortened Zurich Classic. And in the 54 holes he played to win that tournament, he was bogey free. Obviously suffers from inconsistency, as you stated, a bit of a journeyman. But whenever this event is on the horizon, seems to find a little something. In 2013, finished tied 15th at the Shriners, 2 starts prior to another tied second place finish here. And he followed that with a 5th and 6th place finish. In 2014, he finished 13th at the CIMB Classic prior to a 71st place finish here, but he did rank first in driving accuracy. 2017, finished tied 4th at the Sanderson Farms, 2 starts prior to finishing tied 9th here, and recently tied 4th at the Shriners. So the form figures 2-2, 71, 35-9, missed cut round here. Also played well at the Sunny Open at Wileye Country Club. Another tight driving track where the wind gets up. He's got 4 top 8 finishes there. Recently ranked 2nd, 9th, 3rd, 1st and 5th in driving accuracy in his last 5 outings, and also 9th in greens in regulation at the Sanderson Farms and 6th at the Shriners. Excuse me. And in hope, again, that El Chameleon brings out the best in Brian Stewart, and he has a decent week on the putting greens. He can find his form yet again.
Okay, you can get a bit of 100-1, Brian Stewart. Steve, would you rather be you or Brian Stewart?
Oh, I'd much rather be Brian Stewart.
Yeah. Why?
He's got a fantastic life, isn't he? Just plodding around El Chameleon, picking up a healthy chair. Yeah, I don't think Brian Stewart's got as many worries as I have.
You don't know that, do you? just to corroborate what Glenn was saying, by the way, about this being a kind of steady Eddie sort of track. The last five champions have been Matt Kuchar, Patton Kizire, Pat Perez. Well, he's not a steady Eddie, he's the volcano. G-Mac and Charlie Hoffman, who probably ironically didn't lead after the first round. Okay, so Abraham Answer is Steve's main man and Brian Stewart is a left field headline selection for Glenn. Who are you going to top up with as well as Answer? Give me just your second fancy now, Steve.
The second fancy, just extend that list for you, Bruce. Fred Funk won the first one. Brian Gay, Mark Wilson, John Hur. I mean, it is a plodder's paradise, as you say. Oh. So, yeah, we must be aware of that. But, yeah, the next best is Harris English, the 2013 Mayakoba champion. So he's a course winner, and he started this season with form figures of 3.6, 33, 4. He's been absolutely flushing it. He was deep in a slump, hitting it sideways, but he recruited a new coach in April, and they've got it sorted. His tee to green game is in top order. His putt has gone a little bit cold, but he traditionally putts very well. So I think everything's going to come together for Harris English very soon, and a long overdue third PGA Tour title could come this week.
Okay, so I was just going to look up Brian Stewart on Twitter just to see if he's, you know, he might be so boring you'd rather be you. You never know. Glenn, who are you going to go for apart from Brian Stewart? I can't wait for this.
Another big name player, Bryce Garnett, another 36-year-old record as well, who plays well at this course. Form figures here, missed cut, 6th, 7th, 25th and 5th. Only on one of those occasions did he come into the event in any sort of form. So obviously he looks forward to this week on the schedule with glee. Two-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2017. And on both occasions he won, Abraham Answer was finished in a tie for second. Showed the benefit of that winning experience when he won the Corrales Punta Cana Championship in the Dominican Republic by 4 shots last year. Oh, excuse me. Started the new campaign, 36, missed cut, 23rd, 42nd. And in 5 of the last 9 events where he's made the cut, he's ranked in the top 10 in driving accuracy, including on the last start at Houston, where he ranked number 1. His last 4 starts here, he is ranked in the top 10 in putts per green in regulation. Proof that the whole test here suits his game. Look out for another solid week.
I can't find him on Twitter, Brian Stewart. There is a Brian Stewart tracker Twitter feed, which promises to track PGA Tour pro Brian Stewart. While he's playing, expect an average amount of tweets to match his skill level. Go, Brian. And he's never tweeted. Absolute madness.
He's a very, very steady Eddie, isn't he, old Brian Stewart?
Do you know anything about him apart from just, you know, what he does?
He's your classic journeyman. He's very unflappable, just goes quietly about his business and picks up the odd check here and there. But, I can see Glenn's thinking. I mean, but he'll be certainly looking for a few bar stewards, won't he, if he wins on Sunday?
He certainly will. I've got to back him. Who else should I back, Steve? Give us your other 3 tips.
Aaron Wise is number 3. Finished 3rd in the Bermuda Championship last time out. I think we need to take the hint from that. Wise has been in a little quiet spell, you know, underachieving given how much talent he possesses. But that Bermuda effort on a course which places similar demands to that which he faces this week, I think will be a springboard to big things. Wise has shown now that he can perform on all different types of track. You know, I think he's prepared to rein himself in on courses like this one. He carded a 63 in El Chameleon last year and finished in 10th place. So Wise number 3, and then I've got 2 more. Russell Knox, your classic player for this tournament. Yeah, a real sort of fairways and greens man. Steady Eddie. Lost a Mayakoba playoff to McDowell in 2015. The course plays to his strength. Form figures of 2.39 from his last 3 visits. And likewise, had a very tidy Bermuda Championship. 4 rounds in the 60s, finished 11th. I think Knox will have another good go at Mayakoba glory. And then the final one at a massive price, the best outsider, Kramer Hickok. Extremely accurate driver, very well suited to El Chameleon. He has shown some short game form of late as well. So he looks like he's peaking for a massive week. This is his second season on the PGA Tour. He lost his card last term, but won it straight back with a really gutsy month on the Korn Ferry Tour finals. 19-5-3 were his results in the Korn Ferry Tour finals. Got his card back. He was 29th on his Mayakoba debut as a rookie last year. He's won on the Korn Ferry. He's won twice on the Canadian Open. I think Kramer Hickok the really lively outsider.
Steve, can I ask you about Danny Lee, who's got two top three finishes here and has a bit of current form as well? Did he come onto the radar at all?
Very much so. I think you've got every right to ask about Danny Lee because in the CJ Cup, he gave Justin Thomas a real fright. You know, he held his own really well in a duel with one of the best players in the world. And yeah, as you say, he's got some course form. So yeah, Danny Lee was on my radar.
Okay, who are your other two, Glenn?
Right, next one is Canadian David Hearn, 40 years old now, still a PGA maiden, which I can't believe he still is. Had a couple of goes winning in the past. 2013, lost out in the playoff to Jordan Spieth. That's when he won his first tournament in John Deere Classic. And he lost out in a four-man playoff in the 2015 Greenbrier Classic. Went close to winning his home open in 2015, leading after 54 holes before finishing third behind Jason Day and Bubba Watson. He's another been driving the ball superbly in the last few months. He's ranked in the top two in driving accuracy 8 times in his last 13 events, and also ranked in the top 10 in greens in regulation 6 times in those same events. Got a best finish here of tied 16th in 2014. That's his best in 5 tries. And he was tied 8th at the Bermuda Championship last time out. Again, needs to putt a bit better than he has been recently, but did finish 2nd in putts for greens in regulation at the Korn Ferry Championship. And he could recover some of his old form and show up at a big price this week.
Okay. The first three have been so weird, your selections. Steve, you've got to have a guess at what Glenn's fourth tip's going to be.
Alf Garnett.
No, go on. Come on. Don't be silly.
Let me have a look at my shortlist, see what's...
Well, no, come on. He's going for boring journeyman. So who could...
Yeah, he is. What about JT Poston?
Okay. Is it JT Poston, Glenn?
No, he's not a journeyman. He did recently won bogey free for the first time in 40-odd years. Now, he was on the shortlist, but didn't quite make it. The next guy, he's not quite a journeyman. He was Henrik Norlander. He's only 32. he's definitely an underachiever. I just slung him in again. He's driving the ball well recently. He's very hit and miss. Started out on the Challenge Tour. His first European Tour event, he finished tied 11th at the Nordea Masters. I think we might have kicked on from there. Gone stateside, up and down on the Korn Ferry Tour. Has managed 2 wins, one of those early this year in Wichita. So he's been driving the ball really well. Well, I've lost myself here now.
What a surprise. Are you actually making this up? Are these people actually exist, Glenn?
Yeah, this is. The key for me was here driving it straight. So these are the guys I come up with that have been the most consistent recently. Some of them have got 4 round ears, some haven't.
Okay.
He hasn't particularly. So he's a bit of a stab. He's more of a stab in the dark than the others. Yeah, he's shortened down a bit with the firms recently. He's not the greatest putter in the world, but if all these guys have good weeks here and there, and he's that one. If he finds a little bit on the greens, as long as he gets it there, he could show up. If I just take him playing all 0.5s, I don't proclaim to be confident on these guys, but I don't like the front of the market.
Okay, well, that's absolutely astonishing, that Tricast will pay zillions and zillions. Let's quickly spin through what actually passes favourites, given it's 20-1 the field. Steve, Jason Day, I mean, is there a case for saying that he's the class act in the field? He could absolutely make, you know, pull clear and win by miles.
Well, absolutely. It shows how far his star has fallen that he's not clear favourite in this, doesn't it? He's down to world number 29 now, Jason Day. And there's many reasons for that decline. But yeah, I don't think this is an ideal track for him. Too many loose shots in Jason Day.
Okay, I know you both like Victor Hovland. How close was he to being one of your selections, Glenn?
Yeah, again, it's a price thing, really, with Hovland. Obviously, his last couple of events, he hasn't been quite so good. So a little form dip, but he's had such a good year. It's probably expected at some point, but his price is not reflecting that. So, yeah, I fully expect him to bounce back, but I can leave him alone this week.
Two of the most... Oh, go on, Steve.
Sorry, I'm really keen to talk about Hovland because he's got some course experience here. He played in the 2016 Eisenhower Trophy as an amateur, with two rounds at El Chameleon, and he closed with a 65 on this course. And then he played last year in the Mayakoba Classic as an amateur and missed the cut on the mark, second round 67. So, yeah, he can hit the ground running this week, because Hovland's been doing really well on course debuts, but this time he's turning up and he knows the track. I do fear Hovland. I think he deserves to be favourite, but just at the prices, I prefer my ones.
Okay. I despair when a golf commentator, whenever Luke Donald or Matt Kuchar plays a shot, and the crowd go either Luke or Cooch, and the commentators go, they're not booing, they're just saying his nickname. We know that! We know that, you idiot! But this week, we might need clarification on whether they're going to be booing Kuchar or going Cooch. What are they going to do, Steve? Tell us why.
Well, because he massively underpaid his caddy last year. He won $1 million, well, 1.1, I think it was, and paid $5,000 to his caddy. You know, it's usually 10%, because he was a local caddy. His usual caddy wasn't there. He just threw him $5,000, and yeah, it's pretty absolutely scandalous.
Disgusting. It's absolutely revolting. And I tell you what, I've seen a few more things about Kuchar. I remember he asked for a ruling when there was absolutely no reason why not to. There was another time when he'd spent ages picking tiny little sort of chunks of sand out of a bunker. The idea that he's a nice bloke, I'm not having at all.
No, that's right. I think the mask has slipped now on several occasions, and we're seeing the real Matt Kuchar. And you're right, he'll have to have pretty serious security in Mexico this week, because they won't forget his conduct. He's been desperately backtracking ever since and saying he's given him this, he's given him that. But yeah, it's a big PR exercise this week for Kuchar. He's going to get a lot of questions about last year's misdemeanors, and you know, will it distract him from playing well this week? Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, the best PR move would be to win the tournament and give the entire check to that caddy, wouldn't it? But
to a local charity, that'd be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it? He's got enough money,
absolutely,
hasn't he?
Absolutely, he's got more than enough money. Spread the love, spread the wealth.
Tony Finau is always prominent in the betting, not so on the leaderboards. Just never seems to win, does he, Glenn? Could this be his week?
No, he doesn't. I actually quite like Tony Finau. I backed him in the Open, played well in windy conditions, but he had a really poor Asian swing, two poor performances. He has got form around here, 7th in 2014, 16th in 2018, but he's another one. At the price he's quoted, and say not in currently good form, definitely not for me at all.
Okay, let's solemnly and clearly recap our selections this week. The Ned Bank Challenge, Steve Palmer.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Glenn Day.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Isn't that amazing? One selection each and they've both gone for the same guy. Mayakoba Classic, Steve Palmer.
Abraham Anser, Harris English, Aaron Wise, Russell Knox, Kramer Hickok.
Glenn Day, can you remember these?
I can. Brian Stewart, Bryce Garnett, David Hearn and Henrik Norlander.
And if you are only having one bet this week, I think I know what it's going to be, Steve.
The Louis Oosthuizen and Abraham Anser each way double.
And Glenn.
No, just the each way single. Who are you, Oosthuizen?
Okay, thank you, chaps. Don't forget, do bet responsibly. Don't bet with money you can afford to lose. Okay, what have we got lined up between? Are you both reconvening next week?
Very much so, John.
Good.
Yes, yep.
We've got the DP World Tour Championship, which I presume, Steve, is the culmination of the race to Dubai, is it?
Yeah, very, very exciting. Yeah. Top 50 in the race to Dubai, unless they invite someone else. I'm getting infuriated with these tournament invites that the European Tour are throwing in. You've got three invites this week. Just ludicrous. Makes a mockery of the whole system. But yeah, hopefully the top 50 next week and no invites.
And the RSM Classic on the PGA. Is that likely to have a fairly lowly tournament rating, or is that a good one, Glenn?
Yeah, probably about five, I would imagine, five or six. No, I don't think it's a good one, not that I'm aware of. I haven't looked that closely at the moment, to be honest.
Okay, what are we doing between there and then, Steve? What have you got exciting lined up for the weekend?
Just trying to keep the family happy while watching as much golf and darts as possible. I mean, I desperately need Michael van Gerwen to win the Grand Slam of Darts. And then hopefully you get some golf and joy as well. I mean, that 7-hour Sunday in Turkey last Sunday did not go down well with the wife. I mean, you know, that was basically took out the whole of the sunlight, didn't it, last Sunday? But I had to follow the progress of Erik Ram Ruhlen.
Stuart, it's worth it when your man blows it all in the six-man playoff. God.
Yeah, it's a difficult day.
Steve, sometimes Glenn texts me, like, when situations like he's got a guy too clear and then he ends up in a bush or something. And Steve will often text me and just say, there must be more to life than this. Glenn, what have you got lined up? Anything fun?
Yes, I'm actually off to Cheltenham for the weekend.
Lovely.
For the first time ever, I'm going to do all 3 days. It's sort of a family thing. The other half's going, and my eldest boy and his best mate. So could get a bit messy, but yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, lovely. How old's your son?
24.
Brilliant. Oh, loved it. And he likes a bet. You've indoctrinated him into the world of racing.
He does like a bet. Yeah, he's taking a little bit of a sabbatical at the moment, but he does like a drink. So I think that'll be more the key for the weekend.
I don't think the weather's great, is it? You need to bring your Macintosh or whatever that is.
Stay indoors, you mean, Bruce? Yeah, stay in the bar.
Awesome. Which is your preferred bar at Cheltenham?
Oh, no, I'm not fast, as long as they're not closed, I don't mind.
Lovely stuff. Well, enjoy Cheltenham, Steve. Enjoy the darts and the golf. I hope they're lucrative for you. Thank you very much indeed for watching. We've got football on Thursday. We've got racing on Friday and the Monday review. And we're back next Wednesday for another Racing Post Golf Postcast. Give them the haul!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.